Today's Shir of Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Siman Taf Nun Aleph. We're up to Sif Yud Gimel. Kli Sheyesh Bo Telai. It seems they used to have in Kalim, not like today when we have a Kli that has a hole in it, right? We just get rid of it and get a new Kli. In those days, even if they had like a metal Kli, they would put a metal patch on it. Or even if it was a Kli made out of wood, they'd patch it up with a piece of wood or something on it. So look what he says here. Kli sheyesh bo tlai. So the kli, it has a patch. Im kadam atlai leblias ha'iser. If this patch was patched onto the kli before the kli absorbed any iser, any chametz, so ein sarech lahasiro. Then you would not have to go ahead and remove it. Meaning, if you kasher it with the patch on it, the kibolo kach polto, because the same way the iser or the chametz went into it, so too, right? The same way it absorbed into it, so too you can extract it. So if the kli was used for cooking, you can go ahead and boil it out, and you do not have to remove the patch. The inkadma b'liyas ha'iser l'tloi, however, if the kli already was used for chametz, and afterwards you went ahead and you put the patch on it, then before Pesach, tzarech lahasir ha-tlai, you're going to have to go ahead and remove, before you're kashering and before you do the hagala, you have to remove the patch, kodem hagala. Oh, if you don't want to do that, Yasim Gicholim al Mekom Atlai. You have to go ahead and put coals, burning hot coals, meaning libun, by the area of the patch, Ad She Yisaref Gufa Iser, until you burn out the Iser that was either absorbed or, as we'll see, stuck in the actual patch. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah on this. Sif Katan Ayin Beis. So he says, when we talk about a patch on the kli, we're only talking about a patch in the inside of the kli. Because on the outside of the kli, if you had this patch, it would not in any way, shape, or form hurt the ability to go ahead and kasher it. The basic idea is that, as we're going to see coming up, the issue with the kli and the patch being put on the kli afterwards is going to be either an issue of chametz gathering in it or chametz not being able to go ahead and kasher and get to the areas that need to be extracted in order to kasher. So that on the outside is not going to in any way affect the kashering of it, and it would not need to be removed regardless of when the patch was attached to the kli. Sif katan ayin gimel, kodam ha tlai, if the patch came attached to the kli, was attached to the kli before the iser was absorbed in it, meaning perish, sha tlai nasa, meaning the patch was attached to the inside of the kli, b'shash haya kli chadash, when the kli was still non-used, was not used yet for food. O shehegilu hakli, or the kli was fully kashered already. Kodem shesamu, before you put the patch, kodem shesamu hakli, before you attach the patch to the kli. So then, sifkat the nayin dalin, ain sarach lahasiro, you do not, there's no requirement to remove the patch, b'shash hagala, when you catch it, when you are kashering the shas hagala, when you're kashering the kli, you do not have to remove it. You can leave it. You can leave the patch attached to the kli. The ayri, and he says here, shehu mudbak. We're talking here. He says shehu mudbak yafeb inyan. We're talking only where the patch was attached very well. Shein lachosh shema yesham ktsas chametz ben, where there's not going to be any concern that any chametz actually gets into it. Ve'ein sarach lachosh, and therefore the only concern that you're going to have is rak lebliyas chametz. The only issue you're going to have is the absorption of the chametz shenivla b'kli, where the kli absorbed the iser derech hatloi via the patch, meaning the patch also obviously absorbs the iser, and then it goes into the kli. Uvezeh minan kibolo derech hatloi kach potlo derech hatloi. And here we say the same way that the kli absorbed any of this iser via the patch, it will go out via the patch when you go ahead and boil it out. The ilu yesh sedakim saviv atloi, because if there were any gaps or grooves or holes around this patch, yesh lachosh lachametz ben, and you have to be concerned that there's actual chametz caught in the grooves, then we're back to what we've seen in the previous sifim. You're going to tzarech libun dafka apazay. You're going to need, specifically, you're going to need libun. Chanom el elbasif dalit. Oshi nakir shametev. Or you're going to have to go ahead and clean it out really well to make sure that there's nothing in the grooves. Vimlo asa kain. And if you not do this, then apid the evid asa. Even the evid is going to be asa because the assumption is that you have be'en actual chametz in there. And no hagala, except for libun, will destroy and get rid of the actual chametz inside. Sifkatan ayin hay. He says, however, if the kli was used for chametz before the patch was put on, then tzarech lahasir. Then what has to happen in order to kasher is you have to remove the patch before you do the agala. Yaf dimedubak bechozek, and this is even if it's attached. Well, chayshina were concerned. Two possible concerns. One, shema nisha ma'at chametz be'en ala kli. Maybe there was some chametz that was on the kli kodem shenasnu alav atlai before you put the patch on. In other words, maybe it wasn't so careful when you put the patch on, so maybe there was a little bit of chametz stuck to it, and you didn't really care, and now you put the patch on it. So that's number one. So you have to be concerned that there was chametz on the kli on the inside. Ulu be'en eino mo'il hagala. And as you know, there's not going to be any way of kashering it if you have actual chametz lodged inside in between the patch and the kli. The yesh poskim, the choshesh in bezeh, and the poskim that say that besides the concern that maybe there is food attached to the kli before the patch was put on, and there's chametz actually there, there's a concern also when you put the patch on after the kli was used for chametz, you choshesh for the blias ha'iser, you choshesh for the absorption of the iser shenivla the kli that went into the kli mikodem beforehand. Why? Because in that case, the ein yotze aplito legamrei. In such a case, the absorption will not come out totally derech ha'tlai shu mafsik via the tlai that is separating. Because now, since you're putting the patch on afterwards, you can't say the same way kibolo kach polto, because the blia happened in a way that it was direct without the patch there. And now you have the patch separating between the boiling hot water and the actual kli itself. And therefore, there's a concern that it will actually then still be coming out, the chametz, into the food on Pesach itself. So those are the two concerns. And once again, the Mishnah Brura had said before that this concern is only when the patch, these two concerns, is only when the patch is on the inside and not when the patch is on the outside. Not when it's patched up on the outside. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, let's continue on in the Shulchan Aruch. He says, O yasim gichalim al mekom atlai, ad sheyisarif guf ha'iser, im yeshno, yachar kach magil kol hakli. He says, if you don't want to remove the patch that's attached to the inside of the kli, you could go ahead and put coals in there. And this way, if you put coals in there, that will go ahead and burn off the particular area near the patch. And that will go ahead and remove any issue of chametz that's be'en, as well as any chametz that you're concerned that was balua in there before the patch was put in. So Mishnah Brura, Sif Katan, Ayin Vav, Ad She Yisarev, Latam Arishon, he says, so again, if you did not remove the patch, he says that it's on the inside, you have to go ahead and do Sreifa, you have to go ahead and do Libun on the area of the patch. So he says, Latam Arishon, according to the first reason, what do you need libun for? The mishum chametz ben, because of the chametz ben that might have been there before you attached the patch. So there, with respect to that, he says, "Dai belibun kal." It's going to be enough to be libun kal she'akash nisrafi b'chutz, where it doesn't have to get red sparks and glowing red, but rather, if it's just libun kal, it gets hot to the point where straw would burn when it's placed on the outside. That would be enough of a libun to get rid of the chametz that might have been inside. That will for sure burn up the chametz shehu be'en that might have been in there, that's around. Like we said earlier in Sifdalid, like we said in Sifdalid, with respect to the other gaps and grooves in Kalim back in Sifdalid, that when we couldn't clean them out, we would have to do libun, and we said that libun kal would suffice. And then he says, Ulatama sheni, and with respect to the other concern, namely that you are not going to be able to go ahead and do hagala, it's not going to suffice to go ahead and pull out the and kasher the bliyas, tzarech libun chamer, you require a full-blown libun, sheyarbe gichalim, to have a lot of gichalim al oso makom atlai, on that particular area, actually, you need sotsos nitazin imanu until sparks fly, till it gets red and glowing. Sha'az bevadai yisaref. Then, only then will the get to the point where the isir will be burnt. That's balua betoch hakli that was absorbed in the kli. Benira, and it appears the be'eno binyomo. But if we're talking about eno binyomo, yesh lismoch lahakel b'zeh. You could be makel if it's an eno binyomo. And you just use libun kal. V'cholze b'tzloi shehu ke'ein tas. He says that all of this is talking about a tzloi that is like a tas umudbak lakli al yedei mas smerin. He says, we're talking here about a patch that is attached not where it was melded and welded onto the kli, but rather it was attached with types of nails or screws. Kemoshu derech limatzei biyaros, like you'll see in big metal pots. Aval betloishu nidbak al yedei esh. However, if it's a patch that was welded on with fire, kemoshu derech lasos bekli bedil, she nikvu, she matifin aleim bedil, she nitach ve'esh. He says, if we're talking about these types of kalim, where they would go ahead and actually weld the patch on, like by the deal, like by a tin. By tin, for example, they would weld it and it would get, you're right, piping hot, and it would melt and then harden on the kli itself. So if we're talking about that type of patch, so then there's not going to be any issue. Harehein nichsharim ba'hagala. Hagala will suffice. Ve'ein tzarech laniach kecholam al tlai, af im kidma b'liyas ha'isr b'kli. And you're not going to go ahead and need to put any coals or anything like that by the patch. You could just do hagala, not libun, l'fisha yidei chom abdil, when it was actually patched the first time, even though it was patched after the kli already absorbed isr or might have chametz stuck to it. It's not going to be a problem. Why? Because both issues are going to be allayed when you go ahead and seal the pot with the patch. Because the chom of the bedil, the chom of the tin that got nisraf, that got burnt up, kol mamashos, the be'en of the chametz would get totally burnt up, right? Nisraf kol mamashos ha'isr shetachtov, any chametz that is under and got stuck because the patch was put on afterwards would have, and still is in there, will have gotten burned off when the patch was actually welded onto it, in Yeshno Sham, if it was there. The Gama Balua, and also any of the Balia, Shema Avra Latlai, that's on the opposite side of the patch, in the Kli still, that's also going to come out, Niflat Al Yedei Hagala, that's going to come out with the Hagala, because in that case, since it became like one Kli, Einat Tlai, Ma'akev Klal, the patch is not going to in any way separate between the Hagala and the Etzem Kli. Kevon Shenikda Nidbak Al Yedei Chom Ha'esh, Naasek Kli Achad Mamish. Since it got stuck to the Kli, this patch, via melting it onto the Kli, it becomes like one Kli Echad between the patch and the original kli, and therefore hagala will suffice. Now, what's very interesting, I'm going to point something out that we've seen this a number of times here and earlier. The concept of kibolo kach polto, that the same way the iser is absorbed, it gets extracted. Now, the way we've been seeming to explain it, and the way it seems to be understood here in the Mishnah Brura, is that whether we're talking about Hagala, or whether we're talking about anything that, any bliyas that came via, let's say, Eish, directly, so if the bliyas came through cooking, so the bliyas will be extracted with cooking. If the bliyas came with direct Eish, so then you need Libun to extract it. And the concept is extraction in both cases. And that's why, for example, the Mishnah, you know, Mishnah Brura on Sifkat and Chavzayin, and here, that's the way he seems to be talking, that that's what Eish does. Eish also is polate. It pulls out the Isser. Now, this is the way the Minchas Yitzchak understands the Mishnah Brura way back when in Sifkat and Chavzayin, and Pashas here as well, it sounds that way. In Minchas Yitzchak, Shailas and Chuvas, Chela Gimel, Simen Samach Vav, Oz Beis Gimel. And the significance of this is, for example, and this is sort of like the understanding of the Hagos Maimoni, really. The Hagos Maimoni seems to understand that by Eish, it's also a concept of Kibolo Kach Polto. And therefore, these poskim, they maintain, for example, let's say you have an oven that absorbed a chametz taste at a particular temperature, so it's going to be effective to run the oven at that same temperature to extract that taste, since that same temperature will be capable of extracting the absorbed taste, and it is unnecessary for the oven to actually become so hot that sparks fly from the surface. This is a very important kula that people rely on who do not have self-cleaning ovens. If you do not have a self-cleaning oven, then how are you going to get the inside of the oven so red hot? You're not going to be able to do it when you go ahead and turn the oven on to the highest degree, because it's not going to get red hot at 500, you know, something Fahrenheit. It's not going to get to the point where the sparks fly. Only in self-cleaning ovens do you have libun. Okay? So, the Minchas Yitzchak, understanding Kibola Kachpolko, is saying very logically, since the oven never gets, let's say, you never put your oven on past, let's say, 450 or 475. So since you never have it that hot for longer, let's say, than, you know, 2.5-3 hours, so all you have to do is put your oven, after you cleaned it very well and got all the mamashas out to the best that you could, all you have to then do is put the oven on to the highest degree possible, and we say kibolo, the same way it went in. Let's say it cooked for 3 hours at 475. So then if you have it cooking for 3 hours, even on 475, but you put it on 500, no problem. Even though there's not a glowing red, sparks flying, kibolo kach polto. That's the kula. If you understand kibolo kach polto working the same way by, let's say, hagala and libun, where the libun like you see by hagala, the same way, it's equal. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in a very important tshuva, Rav Moshe here in Yeridea Chelak Aleph Siman Samach, he says no, that's not the pshat. He wrote that the Mishnah Brura, when he brings in the principle of kibolo pach polto, that's merely to explain why hagala is not sufficient to kasher a kli that absorbed a chametz taste by fire, but did not intend to indicate that this is the principle, okay, that's explaining the mechanism for kashering with fire. He explains that he follows the Pri Megadim's understanding of the mechanism of Libun, that Libun does not extract taste from the wall of the kli. Rather, the pshat is that it burns the taste where it is so that it no longer exists. It's not a plita. It's not a concept of extraction, but rather destruction. And that level of destruction will only be there when it reaches the level of Libun. And for that reason, when a kli absorbs taste by fire, the only way to kasher it is to heat it to the degree that sparks fly from the surface, since it's only at that temperature that the taste absorbed in the walls is going to be incinerated. Heating the utensil to the temperature at which the taste was absorbed would not be sufficient to burn out that taste. It's based on this principle that even an earthenware kli can be kashered with libun. Because as we said, tam cannot be extracted from clay cheres, from earthenware. But it's possible to incinerate the tam that's absorbed in the walls of a clay cheres. So that's very, very important to understand and appreciate. Again, what the Mishnah Berurah actually means is not 100% clear. It sounds like the Mishnah Berurah is not going like Rav Moshe, because he seems to be talking about kibolo kachpolto here as well, in terms of the actual plita that is coming based on either the libun kal or the libun chamor here. When he says that in order to go ahead and to pull out the blia that was on the other side of the kli, he says libun chamor is necessary, and libun kal would not be enough to go ahead and kasher via the patch to the other side of the kli. We now move on weiter. Okay, we continue on to Sif Katan Ayin Zayin. So he says, if you do not remove the patch, so you have to do libun by the patch, and then afterwards do the hagala of the rest of the kli. Sif Katan Ayin Zayin. The acharkach magil kol hakli, the kelim yishonim shetashmishan bekli rishon shechipon bebdil. He says, what if you have old kelim that was used initially with as a kli rishon, meaning it was, let's say, an old pot that was a kli rishon, shechipon bevdil, that you went ahead and you patched it up with some tin, me'ikar adin haya efshel atiran b'lo hagala, me'ikar adin, you did not need any hagala, l'fi shederechu shemechame min hakli kol kach, because the pashtus is that you're going to get the kli so hot, be'esh mibechutz, because when you're making the patch, the kli would get so hot on the outside that the inside is going to be burnt up. And that itself would have been in place of hagala when you actually did the patch making. Like we said earlier in Sif Dalet, Ella. He says, since those individuals that are doing the patching, these craftsmen, they sometimes do this type of patching very fast, and it would not go ahead and travel the heat to the whole kli, never got so sufficiently hot. Therefore, you should always be machmir ulatzricha hagala and require hagala. Umikomakom b'di'eved im nishdamish b'hem below hagala. He says b'di'eved, if you went ahead and you used it without hagala when a patch was made, ein la'esor ha'tavshil, you would not ask the tavshil. Ubeprat yishakli ein b'yomo, specifically when the kli is ein b'yomo. And if this craftsman that did the actual melding of the patch, it's roi latvil, it's appropriate to go ahead and do a tvila below bracha, and a bracha, because it's like he's making the kli anew with the melding and the welding of the patch with this, you know, with the fire. Therefore, a tvila would be necessary. So just to sum up what we've seen so far, what we've seen is that when you have a patch, so if you have a patch on the outside, it doesn't make a difference whether the patch was melted on, welded on, screwed on, you can just kasher it regularly with hagala. If it's on the inside, you're going to require either removing the patch before you do hagala, or doing libun around the patch, and the libun that's necessary, the Mishnah Berurah says, is legabe, the actual concern that there is chametz that was there before the patch was put. So that libun kal would suffice to get rid of the mamushas of the chametz. However, regarding the blia that you might not be able to get to, the absorption that you might not be able to get to because there is a blockage of the kli because of the patch, that would require, he says, a libun chamor, a full-blown libun until it gets red hot. He says, when dealing with an Eina Ben Yomo, though, you could rely on libun kal regardless to go ahead and kasher the kli by doing libun kal around the patch and then hagala afterwards. He then goes on and he had said that if the patch was patched with melting and welding on the patch, not with screws and the like, but it actually became one because you get a certain uman, a craftsman, to go ahead and melt, let's say, tin to the hole, and now it becomes like one with the kli, so then melted onto the kli, then he says hagala will suffice for the whole kli, because when the welding occurred, it would have burnt up any of the mamashos of the chametz there, and there's not going to be anything now that is going to separate to prevent the plita, the extraction of the chametz from, of the tam of the chametz from the kli, because it now all became like one kli when it was melted onto it. Then he says it's possible that if what happened was that the craftsman actually did a welding of the hole by melting the tin and sealing it by getting it piping hot, he says the whole kli got red hot, or got at least hot enough that would be the equivalent of a hagala for the whole pot, and therefore it seems that meikar adin, you wouldn't even need hagala. However, he says it's possible that these craftsmen didn't go get it that hot when they sealed it, and therefore one should go ahead and do hagala anyway. But b'diavad, he says if it was used without hagala, you don't aser the food there, specifically when the kli is an Eina Ben Yomo. And then he says if the one who did this welding of the patch onto the kli was a non-Jew, since it's like making the kli anew, it would be appropriate, since the goy did it, to go ahead and do a tevila on that kli without a bracha. Now, we continue on in the Shulchan Aruch. V'mu shel eitz, ein lo takana, ela imkein yachiv ha-sedek kol kach, sheyuchal lo tzi misham mashe b'socha. If the patch was a wooden patch, let's say a wooden kli with a wooden patch, then there's not going to be any way of fixing it unless you take the patch off, since you can't do obviously leave it, it will burn up the wood. So you're going to have to go ahead and scrape off any type of groove that might have been there, so that you can go ahead and scrape out any chametz that might have got lodged in there. The chametz would have to also be in a way that the hagala will reach there as well, in terms of the second concern of getting the bleas out. Now, the Ramah now continues. Roshem she'osim ha'umanim b'toch kelim mutir la'gilan me'acha she'naseh michadash v'inakrim hetev. So what he's saying is that if it's permitted to do hagala on a kli in which the manufacturer left a mark on the inside of the kli, since it's made when the kli is new and it could be easily cleaned. Look at the Mishnah Berurah Sifkatan Ayin Ches. He says, Ayin b'ber halacha. Check out the ber halacha. Sifkatan Ayin Tes. V'yinakrim hete. But you still have to go ahead and clean it, and clean the area well. Ulefisha matsui sham harbe osios. V'kasha l'nakron hetev. And he says, and since there are many letters there, and it's hard to go ahead and clean it, better mutal asum sham aloso amakom kachalim. It's better to go ahead and to do libun in that area. Sheim yesh sham mashu chametz. If there's any type of chametz there, yisarev. It will burn.